As I mentioned before, for many people, Father's Day can be a joyous day, and for others, Father's Day can be a hard day. We have biological fathers, we have stepdads and foster dads. We also have people that every day step in to be a father figure for other people. We have dads that are still with us, and dads that have passed on. And unfortunately, when we watch the news, we see there are dads who have turned to the dark side. Dads that are dysfunctional, absentee, abusive. And there are some people who don't even know who their father is. I was very fortunate growing up. I had a really good dad. You could say I grew up idolizing my dad. When I was young, I literally thought he was the strongest and smartest man on the planet. I was my dad's pal, and I loved doing everything with him. And my dad knew me very well. He knew how to motivate me. And when I played football, I could hear his voice ringing clear through the crowd, cheering me on when I made good plays, and calling me out when I didn't make good plays. Like when my guy sacked the quarterback, and I'm just going back to the huddle like this, and I hear this voice, "That was your man, Scott." Thanks, Dad. My dad taught me all kinds of things. He taught me how to mow grass, how to drive, how to fix things. But more importantly, he gave me tons of wisdom. And he taught me to have pride in everything that I do. My dad knew me so well. He knew when I was lying and he knew when I was telling the truth. It wasn't long after I had my driver's license that it was Friday night and I was going to pick my girlfriend up for a date. I lost control of the car and hit a telephone pole right in front of the police station. How nobody saw it, nobody came out. I started the car back up, it backed up, got back on the road, and I spent the rest of that date night thinking about how am I going to tell my dad I wrecked the car. Because I was confident, overconfident, and I was afraid my dad was going to take my privileges away from me. And I didn't like to admit that I had made a mistake. So I came up with this great plan. I would tell my dad that somebody at high school must have backed into it in the parking lot. And my dad stared at the car and looked at me. He goes, "That's what happened?" "Yeah, Dad, someone must have backed into it." "Well, did you call the police, son?" And I said, "No, I didn't notice it till later, Dad. I didn't call the police." And on Monday evening after school, he said, "Well, did you go to the principal's office and report it?" "No, Dad, I didn't go into the principal's office." And then the next evening it was, "Well, did you walk the parking lot? Because somebody's got a matching dent in their car." And every day there was one more question, until finally I was beat down. And I said, "Dad, I lied. I wrecked the car." He said, "Come with me, son." We went out into the garage, and there's a perfect half-circle dent in front of the car. He says, "Now look closely, son. You can still see the bits of the telephone pole embedded in the bumper." But my dad knew right away that I was lying because he knew me. Well, in our study of Psalms, we have learned a lot about God. God, the creator of the universe. A God who is powerful, a God capable of great miracles. And yet, today in our psalm, we learn that God is a very personal God. A God that knows us intimately. A God that wants to be our great Father. So let us go back to the scriptures. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Now notice the language used here. This is not anything broad like God so loved the world. This does not say that God loves us or knows us. There is no plural here. This is God knows every single detail about you. Now, I know you heard Joan read it and you just heard me read it. But I'm going to read it again one verse at a time. And this time I want you to hear it. Listen intently to each verse. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. The Lord knows every single detail about you. The Lord knows all the good about you. And the Lord also knows all the bad about you. The Lord knows your heart. He knows your sins. He knows your selfish nature. He knows each time you gossip. He knows you've had lustful thoughts. He knows how many times you wish somebody was dead. And no matter how much sin we have in our lives, no matter how much we have messed up, we have a God who loves us. We have a God who seeks us. We have a God who wants to forgive us and restore us to a good and healthy relationship. I want you to think about this. God wants you. No matter what you have done, God wants you. And no matter what you have done, God loves you. And when I say God loves you, I don't want you to think in terms of plural, as in all of you, or you all for some of you. When I say God knows you and God loves you, I mean you, each of you individually. John, God knows everything about you, good and bad, and still God loves you. Jim, God knows everything about you, good and bad, and still God loves you. And Danny? Even Danny. God knows everything about you, good and bad, and still God loves you. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about all the awful things I have done in my life, when I think about all of my failures, all of my shortcomings, all of my sins, and to know that God knows all of that, and even knows before I say that bad word that it's coming out, He still loves me. And I can't help but to point to verse 6 again that says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. It should blow our minds that the Creator of the universe knows us, each one of us, knows everything about us, and still loves us. Remember when you're first dating somebody and you're afraid to even belch or sneeze or take a tissue and try to get that booger out of your nose, right? You don't want to do all of that stuff in front of somebody, right? But what happens when you've been married for 20 years? No holds bar at the dinner table, is there, right? We get to know the ugly side of somebody, everybody, right? And you still love. And you still love. God knows every detail about us, and God loves us. Paul writes this in Ephesians 3. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's a very intimate relationship there. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God's love is so big, so great, so wonderful that we cannot escape it. It is bigger than us. It should just be astounding to us that our God would love us this much. Because everywhere we go, God is there loving us. When we go back to our psalm, verse 7, it says, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. We can't hide from God. God is everywhere, and that means God's love is everywhere. And even though he knows everything about us, the good news is that God's love is bigger than us. God's love is bigger than our sins. And God continually seeks to restore us to a rightful place as his children. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. See, God is everywhere. And in some way, in some form, God is knocking to get your attention. It could be through a health scare. It could be through a crisis. It could be through a sunset. It could be through hearing the birds chirping in the morning. It could be through a best friend. It could be through his word. It could be through a sermon that God is knocking. And in some way, in some form, he's going to make his presence known to you. But we have to see that in this verse, this is a two-way relationship. We have to acknowledge God and we have to open the door. We have to do our part to be in a right relationship with God. And just a few weeks ago, we looked at forgiveness and redemption in Psalm 51 and how we must seek God and ask him to cleanse us and change us so that we can fully experience God's presence in our lives. His grace and his mercy abounds, but we have to ask for it and receive it. And if you want real happiness, true real happiness. It can only come from a personal relationship with God. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. When we are restored to a rightful relationship with God, we put our sinful nature behind us, and that allows us to focus on who God created us to be. First, we need to remember we are created in His image. Remember from Genesis, in the beginning, God created a male and female in His image. God created each of us to serve Him in a special way. I felt my calling to be a pastor when I was 6 years old. I preached my first sermons when I was 12. And then I spent the next 20 years running from God. And God kept knocking and knocking. Sometimes He knocked me over knocking until I surrendered and said, God, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to do it. And I know with all my heart that God created me to be a pastor. And when I live out my calling, I feel a special joy. I feel God present in my life. And deep inside, I know it is right. But see, you, not you, but you have a calling too. Because the scripture said God created your inmost being. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He made you uniquely you. No one else has your DNA. No one else has your fingerprints. No one else has your gifts or abilities. Oh, we all may share some of the same things, right? You got O positive blood, I can share my blood with you, right? I can donate a kidney. We can do things, right? But still, each of us are uniquely and wonderfully made. And He created you to love and serve Him in only a way that you can do. And you will not find true happiness until you answer that calling and live it out the way God called you to live it out. And when you discover your call, you'll praise Him because you'll know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then the psalmist continues, verse 15. It says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You see, our God is a God of relationships. Deep, personal relationships. And God wants you to be in a right relationship with Him. God is a good Father that wants us to be His loving and obedient children. And in order to do that, we must deal with our sins so that we can become what God has made us to be. And we have a Father that loved us so much that he has gone to the ultimate extreme to bring us salvation, to bring us to a right relationship through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it is only through faith in Jesus Christ that we can truly experience what a relationship with God is supposed to be. And when we're walking hand in hand with our Father, we can know that we're protected. We can know that we have his wisdom, his strength, his encouragement, his love. The psalmist says his hand is upon us. Think back to when you were a child. Maybe the first time you went up on a slide, Dad, hold my hand. Dad, hold my hand. And eventually you learned to go down the slide by yourself, didn't you? But that's what a relationship with God is like. He says, I'm going to give you a hand to get you going. And then you're going to go and do great things in my name. There's things in life that bring us temporary happiness. But there's only one thing that can bring us eternal happiness. And that is being in a right relationship with God. And when we're in that right relationship with God, we become in a right relationship with each other. Because as God's children, we are truly brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we learn to have a healthy relationship with our Father, and we learn to have a healthy relationship with each other, it is empowering. And what God can do through His Holy Spirit and through His great love for us can be enormous. And I want us to think about that as we continue to grow and move forward as this church. That we need to be focused on a right relationship with God and a right relationship with each other. And the better we get at that, the more people are going to say, I need that. They've got something I don't have. I need faith in God. I need a church that loves me. I need people who are going to pull me along and help me and love me and encourage me. We've done a lot of great things, and we have a lot of great things going on. But there's more to be had. I'm here to tell you there's more to be had. We've picked off some of the low-hanging fruit. But you know some of the best fruit's at higher in the tree. And it's there. God wants this church to grow. God wants this church to be filled, not just in the pews, but filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with goodness, filled with love, filled with charity, filled with service. And it takes getting that relationship with Him right. He knows you, He loves you, and He wants to be in a relationship with you. And the question is, are you willing to do your part? To open up your heart, to give your life to Him and say, Lord, show me what You have created me to be. And I'm here to tell you, you're never too young and never too old to answer your calling. Max, did you know David, King David, was about your age? He was a little shepherd boy. And Samuel the prophet came and anointed him, saying, you have a calling, and you need to answer that calling. Bob, do you know how old Moses was when he was called? He was over 80 years old when he got his calling through a burning bush. Abraham and Sarah were in their 90s. You're never too young, you're never too old to turn to God and answer the calling, because you are wonderfully, uniquely, and incredibly made by God to serve and love like no one else can. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you had intent from eternity about your creation. You just don't look at the world and see a big globe full of people. You see each one of us. It is just astounding to know that even with 7 billion people, you know my heart. You know everything about me. And even know the words that I am speaking before I have said them. Yet you still love me through all my faults. And Lord, I thank you for continuing to pursue me and to give me this great opportunity to be your servant. Lord, my prayer for these people is that they see just how amazing, how deep, how wide, how big, how long, how great is your love. That you would give us your Son, give us an opportunity to be your children, and to call us to serve you as no other has. Lord, may people hear and receive the word that you have given today. However you are knocking on their hearts, may they open their door, let you in, and begin their journey as a loving and faithful child to the greatest and most perfect Father. This we pray through your Son's holy name. Amen. What I can tell you with full assurance is that this week God is going to knock. And you might open the door and God will say, "Well done. You're doing it. Keep doing it in my name." And to other people, he's going to say, "I've got more for you." And it may not be easy. He may ask you to do something that is outrageous or uncomfortable or something you really loathe. But he's going to say, "I made you. And I will equip you to answer me." And when you say yes to God, he will empower you. He will bless you. He will strengthen you. He will give you armor when there's trials, because there will be trials. I answered my calling, and I can tell you this is not an easy journey. Some of y'all's hard. But let me tell you something. It's always, always a blessing. It is always, always a joy. I'm excited every week to get up here and preach, I'm telling you. I can't wait. I don't do it for accolades. I do it because this is what God made me to do. And I want you to have the same joy of fulfillment that I have. And I want you to know that God has good and great things in store for you. You will impact somebody's life in ways that you may never know or understand. And you may not receive the accolades that other people will receive, but God made you to do something special. Answer that call. And be intimately in love with your God. Let us leave here knowing, through our faith in Jesus Christ, we are children of the most holy and perfect Father, wonderfully made and dearly loved. May you feel God's warm embrace upon you today, and may you answer his calling to you this week. This I pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.